You're listening to From the Sea Up, a podcast from Island Institute. I'm Galen Koch. Today, I'm in a business park in Portland, meeting Amber Boudiette and Patrick Breeding.
Tour time?
Cool, tour time.
Do you want to do the tour, or do you like...
You love giving the tour, and I'll pitch in when necessary.
Well, the first thing I always tell people is, this is an old steel factory, the entire building. So when we go out there, you'll see like the cranes and the beams and everything. When we got here, it was owned by a guy who just kept his boats here.
This may seem an unlikely place to find innovation in marine industries, but it's here that Patrick and Amber run their company, Marin Skincare, a business that's intimately tied to Maine's fisheries and the blue economy. Patrick and Amber moved to this factory after founding Marin, like many entrepreneurs do, in their own home.
So we came in here, cleaned the floor, painted the walls, and it was just Amber and I. And so over the years, we started the business in 2020. We incorporated in January, started generating revenue in October. Then in 2021, in the middle of the year, we moved into here because it got too much in our house.
It was like, infiltrating every single room of our house. So we were doing everything, the marketing, the fulfillment. Every corner you looked in our house, there were boxes stuffed somewhere. There were packages being stored to send out. Inventory was in the middle of our kitchen. It was literally everywhere. So
the lab was our kitchen. We'd sanitize our kitchen, then we'd do the chemistry, and then put all the food back and stuff. So now we have a lab here, you'll see. But so this was cool.
We needed to get out of the house as soon as possible.
In this episode, we'll hear from four entrepreneurs, Patrick and Amber of Marin Skincare, and Inga Potter and Krista Rosen of Cold Current Kelp. These business owners are rethinking the uses for two of Maine's prominent marine species, lobster and kelp. And in the process, they're creating markets that go beyond seafood. We'll learn how they built these businesses from the ground up and how they're contributing to innovations in Maine's blue economy. Before we dive in, I want to take a minute to explain what the blue economy is. It's a bit of a buzzword, and it gets thrown around a lot these days. There's a blue economy task force in the state government, a blue economy innovation corridor at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, and dozens of articles, academic papers, and websites that reference the blue economy worldwide. According to the definition on maine.gov, the term refers to business sectors that, quote-unquote, rely on the sustainable use of ocean resources for economic health, improved livelihoods, jobs, or ecosystem health. It's important to emphasize that word, sustainable. The blue economy is as much about economic health as it is about the health of the ocean and the sustainable use of ocean resources. And that brings us back to Marin Skincare, back to Patrick Breeding and Amber Boudiette in their office and factory in Portland. For Amber and Patrick, the innovative idea behind Marin didn't start on the dock or on the water. Some ideas begin closer to home. Here's Amber.
I guess it started with my lifelong struggle with eczema. I've had struggles with patches all over my body starting when I was really young, kind of seasonal off and on. And it went away for a lot of my life, but started getting really bad when I was in college. And I went from having some really small patches on my face and upper body to having these full-blown flare-ups that were keeping me from, like, attending classes. I was afraid to go out in public because my face was all raw and uncomfortable. And it started off really subtle and just got worse all through school. And I tried everything from steroids, I tried all the lotions that were out there, saw doctors, and like most people with a condition like eczema, there was nothing that was making a difference for me. I was pretty much just struggling with it.
Patrick and Amber met at the University of Maine in Orono while pursuing their undergraduate degrees in bioengineering. They started out as classmates, became romantic partners, and then ultimately business partners.
So, in the beginning of bioengineering grad school, we met Dr. Bob Baer, who was the iconic lobster scientist at the Lobster Institute up there.
The Lobster Institute at the University of Maine in Orono is a hub for research, collaboration, and communication in support of a sustainable and profitable lobster industry.
He was researching, really, how can we use any type of byproduct at lobster processors and create value-added applications for them? but particularly focused on the glycoprotein that allows them to pop off and regenerate limbs, heal wounds, fight off disease.
Lobsters can lose and regrow some of their body parts, like their claws, walking legs, and antenna. They're even capable of something called reflex amputation. They can purposefully get rid of a claw or leg in order to save themselves from a dire situation.
And how could, in the same way it does that, how could that help human health from a biomedical perspective? So it was bioengineers teaming up with lobster scientists, and they had done some anecdotal research to show that it could start to help some type of skin ailments like shingles and warts and redness and rashes and all these type of things, but they'd never tried it on eczema. So we did the lit research, and we saw that in the same way it could help regenerate the limbs, it could potentially help repair the skin barrier. So it took some time, but Bob convinced me to convince Amber to try a DIY lobster glycoprotein-rich cream on her skin.
Glycoproteins are molecules that combine proteins and carbohydrates, or sugars like glucose. They play many roles in the body, including activating the immune system, communicating between cells, and fighting disease. Part science experiment, part last-ditch effort, Amber agreed to test the lobster glycoproteins on her eczema.
Everyone says their product is going to work. It's not going to make a difference. This lobster thing sounds crazy. What the hell? Like, there's no way this is going to work. And eventually we did. We made a really simple version of the cream that was basically just the protein in petroleum jelly, which was something that I was using on my face every day to keep my skin from cracking. So the only new thing I introduced was the protein into that basic version of the cream. And I started applying it on my face 2 to 3 times a day. And within about 2 days, I started to feel a little bit of a difference. Like these dry, cracked patches were a lot softer and it wasn't itching and kind of like, it feels like it buzzes on your skin a little bit. And after 2 weeks, these flares, only using this one product, these flares were completely gone. It soothed the irritation. The patches were flat. It was like normal, healthy skin again. I had a little bit of scar tissue, but besides that, you wouldn't even know that I had been living with these flares all over my face. The only thing that I changed was that cream, and it completely changed my life. It was the most wild thing.
The results of this glycoprotein and petroleum jelly mixture didn't lead to starting a skincare company, not at first, but it significantly changed Patrick and Amber's lives for the better. The cream solved Amber's lifelong struggles with eczema, and at the time, that was their goal.
We scratched her itch, metaphorically and literally, and then pretty much forgot about it. Like, it had been such a struggle. It's always there. It's always a nuisance. Like, it's always itchy. It's always there. And then it was just gone. And it brought you back to life, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Emotionally and socially, just we were going out, we're doing things again. She's like more confident in her skin. She's not hiding behind hats and scarves and stuff. And then, so that was 2017. We went through grad school. We were doing completely different projects. It was in 2019, my dad passed away, Christmas morning of cancer, of the last year of grad school. We had taken time before that to take care of him, taken time after that to just step back and be like, whoa, what's this life thing and what are we going to do with it that fills our cup, but most importantly, helps others and is you know, one of the things that we took away from that is just being there and being of service to him and to people is one of the best feelings ever. So in that time period, which was like a month or two, we just reflected on Amber's experience and realized, okay, this thing had completely cleared her skin, completely changed her life. Let's go do something with that. Let's like bring that to other people. How many people are there? It turns out it's like 10 to 15% of the population has eczema or psoriasis, 1 in 10 people.
And there was nothing else out there like this because I lived and searched through all of those products and all the different therapies for so long. This one product just brought me back to like myself. And when we were thinking, what are we going to do with our lives? There are so many other people that were struggling with this. It was kind of a no-brainer that we needed to share this with the world.
So end of grad school, we wrote the grants, did the pitch competitions, got all the non-equity diluting funding we could.
Non-equity diluting funding meant that despite receiving funds to start their business, Amber and Patrick didn't have to give up their equity or ownership of the company in order to get it off the ground. This allowed them to maintain control of their vision and direct the path Marin took as a startup business.
We did the clinical testing we needed to do. We found the manufacturer. We paid for the initial product development that Amber led and now leads. And we started the business in January 2020. We moved from Orono to Portland in February. COVID hit.
At the same time, we were still, you know, learning the basics of how do you make a product? How do you source, like, packaging? How do you actually fill a cream? How does all of this work?
We were learning how to do everything about starting a business, and we were building the supply chain with Luke's.
That's Luke's Lobster, a family-owned seafood business based in Portland, with restaurants, stores, and markets all over the world. In order to make their eczema cream, Amber and Patrick needed a source for a lot of lobster byproduct.
Well, we love Luke's because they're a B Corp and they really care about 100% utilization. So they genuinely want to figure out, if we're fishing for a lobster, how can we use the full animal in every way, from antenna to tail. We met them through our connections from UMaine, and they were already friends with some of the lobster researchers and Dr. Bob. So it was a natural fit, but Luke specifically, getting to know Luke and how he approaches business from a very altruistic and philanthropic perspective, like business for the purpose of impact. And he's ready to play the long game with companies and partners like us. The glycoproteins are a waste byproduct, a natural byproduct of the existing lobster processing. Their circulatory fluid goes right down the drain, and we purify the glycoprotein from that fluid.
It's like the gunk that's on your plate after you make a lobster.
Kind of. Look, it's not like the feces or the intestines or anything like that, but it is clean at the end of it. But it's kind of like that gunk, yeah. And who would have thought to be able to use it for that? But they just take what goes down the drain, bottle it up for us. We do the purification in house, and then it's ready to go. It's a super effective ingredient.
By utilizing a byproduct of the lobster industry, Amber and Patrick were able to not only find a great source for glycoproteins, but also create a market for a previously unutilized waste product. It's a win-win, and an example of the kind of innovative thinking that can move Maine's blue economy forward, adding more value to each lobster that passes over Luke's Lobster's wharf in Portland. But starting a new company is, in a word, challenging.
We were building, and we were doing it ourselves, the collection of glycoproteins, building the new way to do it, a new SOP, new quality control standards that we eventually taught the Luke's team to do, and now we've built our own proprietary supply chain together. But we were doing that from 5 a.m. to 3 p.m. We were building the Shopify site and the branding and the packaging and talking with the manufacturer, and then we didn't have a source of income, so I learned how to trade, and so every month I would, like, thank God it was the market went down and then back up. It would allow me to make enough to pay the rent and continue to extend the lifetime that Amber and Patrick could live before the business started generating revenue. So it was wild at that time, and it really tested us many times in so many ways.
There were some bumps along the way. Storing the glycoprotein and working with the cosmetic manufacturer each had its own learning curve. And at the beginning, Amber and Patrick really were doing everything themselves. They would even drive all of the frozen glycoprotein stored in chest freezers to the manufacturer in New Jersey.
We literally rent a U-Haul, and we use our forklift to put freezers full of jars of glycoprotein in it, drive down to New Jersey, use another forklift to take it off, and plug them in and go.
And we used to bring it down in the bed of my truck, and it got sketchier and sketchier. And one time, like, we were driving through New York, so we drive 7 hours from Maine to New York, well, through New York to New Jersey, and I drove in a bus lane or something, and I got ticketed by a machine, like the camera was watching. And you could see in the ticket it was like 1 a.m. and I had three chest freezers in the bed of my truck. It was like,
he's like,
what
cruising
were we transporting?
Up back to Maine as fast as he can. Yeah. Very suspicious.
Some illegal activities going on, but it was very DIY. We saved like $1,000 every time we did it. So we also, in the beginning, didn't want to pay for anything we didn't have to. So instead of, like, staying there in a $200 Airbnb, I insisted that we drive back. So I'd do all the driving. Amber said she would do some of it.
Amber and Patrick had a lot to think about on those rides to and from the manufacturer. They were starting a brand, not just a business. And this has been a big part of their success story. Marin's eczema cream is packaged in a bright orange, eye-catching tube. And the company also sells lip treatments in Maine-inspired flavors like campfire s'mores and blueberry French toast, products that they promoted in viral social media campaigns, directed and executed by Amber.
We just taught ourselves how to do all things marketing, so how to run the Facebook ads, what to post on Instagram. Didn't start out very pretty. Now we've gotten it to an okay place. But,
a real come-up story with our marketing and design.
How to do email marketing, how to work with influencers, how to do Google ads, how to do PR. And we eventually figured out that storytelling, Amber's story, the glycoprotein story, the discovery, and the upcycling is, you know, how can we storytell in different and larger mediums? So on TV, in print, newspapers, that was the way we learned how to grow Marin, is just tell the authentic story over and over again in different ways. And we had a good first month, and then in November, we 10x'd our revenue into the next month, and then we sold out of our first batch of inventory. And that was the turning point for us, where we were like, okay, the growth is there. People are reviewing. It's like sending life-changing reviews in.
Since launching the eczema cream in October 2020, Marin has amassed a following. There are over 3,500 reviews for the soothing hydrating cream on their website.
That was probably the craziest part of everything. We never questioned if this would work because it worked so well for me. And once we started really leaning into the launch, reviews from people started coming in. And they weren't reviews that were saying, oh, this is a great cream, I really like it. It was people that had struggled for, some people their entire life, that were in their 70s, tried everything. They were just living with it like I was. They tried our cream and it completely cleared their skin, just like it did for me.
We always knew this was going to work because from day one it cleared Amber's eczema. There was no question about whether this would work. But that was the point where the validation of this is a business and the business is ready to grow and the growth is there if we work and we push towards it. So that was a cool point in the journey. There's no better marketing tool than a world-class product. That's it. And ideally, if you do good enough marketing, it should start to snowball and start to sell itself. And that's what we're seeing with some of the biggest lip treatment and beauty TikTokers using Marin now. And now it's like out of our hands. It's into the world. And all we can rely on is the packaging and the marketing we did and the good product. And it's worked.
Just a short drive from Marin Skincare's headquarters in Portland, Inga Potter and Krista Rosen are hanging kelp to dry in a greenhouse at Nooney Farm in Kittery. They are the owners of Cold Current Kelp, a company that's creating new markets for one of Maine's fastest growing marine industries,
so pretty.
Sugar kelp.
Yeah, it's like so crazy. When it's sunny, there's a beautiful kind of sunset aura and the kelp is so golden and pretty. But within 24 hours, this will be dark green and crispy. It's amazing how quickly it changes.
That is amazing.
Like Amber and Patrick, Inga and Krista knew each other before they decided to become business partners.
We were mom friends. We both sort of volunteered at our kids' Montessori school and so became friends. And I'm a marine biologist by background and so had kind of learned about kelp farming, gotten really excited about it, and we were on a walk one day, and I was just talking to Krista about it. So that's sort of how we got into this together. But we've been friends for a long time.
We're not friends anymore, though.
No.
Yeah. Once we started working together.
I know.
Now you never hang out.
Yes, I know. Actually, yes, I'd say we've gotten a lot closer since this started. We certainly talk
for
a lot
sure.
more.
Yes. Who knew you could run a business over text?
I know.
Oh my God, seriously.
The kelp that Inga and Krista are hanging today won't be sold for processing as a food source. Instead, they use this kelp for the line of Kelp Glow face oils they produce for their business, Cold Current Kelp. Inga and Krista came to kelp farming after pretty different career trajectories. Inga is a marine biologist and teacher, and Krista was an attorney for 15 years before she pivoted to being a full-time kelp farmer and entrepreneur. Here's Inga.
We started out not knowing a lot and
I took a course on sort of learning about kind of the opportunities in kelp and all of the potential and the nutrients, and just got super excited about it. And we didn't really know where to go.
Krista and Inga didn't start out farming kelp to innovate or create new markets, but their research and curiosity led them to think critically about where they could fit within an industry that they admired for its potential economic and environmental benefits. Here's Krista.
And when we started, I didn't think of it like we were doing anything new and different. And it sort of turns out we were. I remember going to aquaculture conferences when I first started learning about this industry and this community, and they would do presentations on food and how to preserve seaweed so it can be edible, and everything was food related. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, where's the part where they talk about the skincare or the bioplastics or some of these other uses? And they just never really came. And so eventually it kind of hit me over the head that there isn't a lot of growing kelp in New England or the U.S. for non-food purposes. One of the things that being a lawyer taught me was how to read really boring, long, dense material. So I definitely started doing that, reading these scientific journal articles about all of the benefits of kelp and the different industries that it can be used in. And I just got really excited, and we were thinking, well, skincare, look at all of these amazing benefits that seaweed and kelp in particular can do. It kind of started as a hobby project that I thought we would do on the side, but we really liked the product that we came up with. And so we thought, well, maybe if we're going to go to all the work of making it and designing a bottle and all that, maybe we should just sell it.
The use of seaweed in cosmetics is not itself a new concept. For centuries, probably actually thousands of years, seaweed has been used by coastal communities as a food source and medicinally to treat wounds, burns, and other skin conditions.
Maine has great farmers and great innovation, and a lot of that energy is going into food. And so it's pretty cool to be doing something outside of the food space that is unique, where there is such great potential and we see such opportunity for growth and hopefully incentivizing farmers and creating a market just for our product alone. I think that's kind of our dream, is to kind of scale it and have that be part of our process.
One of the benefits of diversifying the markets for harvested kelp is that it provides farmers with flexibility. The kelp that Inga and Krista use for their extract that goes into their face products doesn't have to be food grade.
You know, there's more of a concern, I think, with the seasonality and the particular standards for food that are a little different for skincare, for example, maybe leaving it in, as we're talking about, maybe leaving our kelp in a little longer, which might not be suitable for food, is actually better for skincare because the biocompounds that we're looking for might be richer at that point. So that's sort of something we're in R&D about and kind of wanting to learn more about.
In order to create the market for their own harvested product, Krista and Inga had to create the final product itself, their signature Kelp Glow facial oil. A lot of their research and development is obviously proprietary, but creating these cosmetic products wasn't as simple as processing the kelp oil and putting it in a bottle.
And we tried so many different variations and blends, and like putting one sample on like one cheek and one sample on your hand and trying to feel, you know, these really subtle differences of what we thought was the best of
and
the best fit.
It involved lots of Excel spreadsheets, actually.
Yes.
I discovered my love for Excel spreadsheets during this.
And also the fragrance and all of that was a totally different process that was equally just like, you know, blends of different scents, you know, to the point where we were like, we can't smell anything anymore. But just a lot of formulations and trying and samples and getting feedback and tweaking things if we felt that we needed to. So it was a long process, but a labor of love. And I think we are really thrilled with the product we came up with. The feedback we get is great. So it's really cool to be making something that we're proud of, that we know so intimately from the start, you know, from its genesis, and that we know what goes into it, you know, from start to finish. So it's been a really cool experience to be kind of on all aspects of the business. I think that's kind of unique in some ways, that we're the farmers and the producers of the oil as well.
we definitely started out just doing everything ourselves, which I think has been great. I love learning how to do every job. I kind of feel like if you own a company, you should do every job. So I really enjoyed it.
Like so many entrepreneurs, Krista Rosen and Inga Potter have had to learn a ton of new skills to launch, promote, and expand Cold Current Kelp. They've also received some support. With the University of New Hampshire, they received a Salt and Stall Kennedy Grant from NOAA to experiment growing different types of seaweed, and an Apex Domestic Trade Grant from the Eastern Maine Development Corporation. And in 2023, they received a Business Resilience Grant from Island Institute, which allowed them to purchase their bottler.
That was great. That allowed us to increase our production capacity by a lot, actually. It went pretty far.
Krista and Inga's passion for kelp and for the possibilities of these markets is infectious. The products and uses that they're researching, developing, and innovating directly impact Maine's blue economy, creating new sources of revenue for kelp farmers and new awareness of the benefits and uses of Maine's marine species. Marin Skincare and Cold Current Kelp are using science and technology to create products that expand traditional marine industries in Maine. And like Marin Skincare's hydrating cream and lip treatments, Cold Current Kelp's face oil speaks for itself.
But our product, it appeals to a really wide variety of retailers and people. People who care about the earth and people who care about natural products and people who want something luxurious.
Yeah, that is one of the things we're super excited about. I think it's really easy to be passionate about it. I mean, people will say to me sometimes, like, you get so excited when you're talking about kelp or your company. I mean, but I think that to be doing something that we know is good for the environment, we also sort of act almost as kind of ambassadors or educators about what seaweed farming is and why it's good for the environment, and then to be creating a tangible product that people can use, you know, from that, is, it just is a really positive, it just feels really positive. And I think that that's something that we, you know, why being a farmer is important too, is because we can really say with confidence and knowledge that we are putting something in the ocean that's improving ocean quality, improving environmental quality, you know, in our own way, right? And making a product that we feel really good about.
Thank you for listening to From the Sea Up. This episode was produced by me, Galen Koch, and production assistant Olivia Jolly. Nicole Wolf takes the photos that accompany this episode. Special thanks to Amber Boudiette, Patrick Breeding, and Liz Sewell Tremblay of Marin Skincare. And thanks to Krista Rosen and Inga Potter of Cold Current Kelp. Most of the music in this episode is by Q Shop. You can hear more of their tunes at www.cue-shop.com. From the Sea Up is made possible by the Fund for Maine Islands through a partnership between Island Institute, College of the Atlantic, Maine Sea Grant, and the First Coast. To hear past episodes and for more information, visit www.islandinstitute.org/podcast.